Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers 245, Passengers.
Yep.
I keep wanting to put the in front of it.
Nope.
Anyone else having that problem?
Yeah.
Just me?
I mean, so I have other
I just keep hearing the Iggy Pop song when we hear it, and then I'm like,
it has nothing to do with that.
I don't keep...
No, but it makes it better.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't keep thinking about this movie, nor do I speak about it enough to try to put, add, or remove anything from the title.
I've seen this movie. That's about as far as I can get you.
So before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin, and I would like to stretch out the 60 minutes of suck as long as I can. And here is Tom.
And this is Tom. So, I don't have shameless plugs. Just real quick, don't forget, available on iTunes, blah, blah, blah.
Yada, yada, yada.
So,
well, because this movie is a shameful plug.
It's something.
Shameful.
Shame.
So, I guess now we will take a gander at this fine, fine film.
So.
And by fine, what do you define fine for me?
It was in focus.
Yeah.
Was it?
They had special effects. Sort of. Kind of.
They're special, all right.
First of all, you should mention the marketing of
Andy
this.
Andy Garcia?
Build fifth in the movie.
Yeah.
The marketing of this movie is a bit misleading.
A bit?
So if you're thinking about it.
A bit?
Heads up.
It's a lot misleading.
Not what you're thinking.
No.
So,
well, you know, that's what's so weird is, like, when I saw the trailer, like, I knew exactly what had happened.
Well,
I don't know. Like,
I did. Like, I went in this movie just assuming, like, the kind of the crux of the film, like I went in like, oh yeah, okay, I get it.
But
okay.
to me the way I remember the trailer was that there was some kind of a double cross, some kind of a sneaky something going on, like he woke up because there's some foul play.
Yeah,
it's a foul play. They're trying to discover like what is actually going on.
Yeah,
and so that's how this trailer sold it to me,
because I remember the trailer had that clip where he's like, I need to tell you something. I was like, oh, he woke her up.
Well, yeah. See, I was just kind of like, I guess I
didn't go immediately to space rapey.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't. I was like,
I wouldn't call it space rapey.
Yeah, I would.
But
it's a space stalker.
I mean, yeah, I'll give you the stalker.
Come on.
But it's not like.
It's very creepy.
It is. Yeah. But I wouldn't go so far as to call it rapey. I wouldn't. And I'm always saying, like...
But to me, the trailer sold it as if... And now, in retrospect,
we don't
sure.
know what happened that whole time he was looking at her in a capsule.
Well, I'm not going to assume he raped her.
No. But he was definitely lingering over.
Okay.
It was creepy. He was a creeper. I think we can all agree.
When she did first get out, she slipped.
Yes, exactly. She's like, whoa.
Where were those Roombas
weird.
Then?
Why does it
weren't
smell
those
like,
Roombas supposed to...
It smells like bleach in here.
But, I mean, the way that the trailer sold it to me was that they both woke up, and they were the two people out of 5,000 that woke up, and we're trying to figure out why, and it led me to
show him wandering around all by himself?
No.
No.
Because I remember...
That most of the trailers sell it as both of them trying to figure out why they were the 2 out of 5,000.
Yeah.
And then
the trailer makes it look like they both woke up at the same time.
And you suspect foul play.
And then Michael Sheen.
And you think that Michael Sheen is in on some kind of creepy...
Yeah. It's just funny because as soon as he's like, I need to tell you something, I immediately took that as he woke her up.
Oh, yeah. See,
when
I did
watched
not,
the trailer. Yeah, I like immediately was like, oh, he woke her up.
So we know when we're on that lifeboat, everybody.
I'll be like Hurley from Lost. Like, how come he's not getting thinner?
What's happening?
So anyway, but I just thought it's a complete bait and switch. I think for the majority of moviegoers that, you know, didn't figure it out from those subtle clues, I think that this movie is a complete 180 from what they sold it as. And when I say that, I mean like a 180
in a good
from
way.
A 180 from something happening To nothing happening.
To a tree growing in the middle of a spaceship.
This movie is dumb. It is just stupid. I was watching it just going, this is just dumb. It is so bad. There's a whole lot of nothing going on the entire time.
Well, you can summarize summarize the movie, and we'll see how long that actually takes. I bet it takes like five minutes.
I think there was a good movie, like, the concept.
This was on the blacklist since 2008.
Yeah, I think there's a concept that I like.
I think this movie didn't have the balls to be the movie it was intended to be.
Yes, I completely agree.
Because it's funny because I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it.
Like I thought. I mean, I get your reaction to it, and I like for the first like 45 minutes, I'm like, okay, this is good for what it is.
Yeah.
But then it just really pusses out.
Yep.
Yes.
But yeah. I totally
I think agree. Another director's hands.
Yeah,
could have been,
and with a $30 million budget instead of $100 million.
Because
of the budget, they didn't have the balls to make the movie they needed to make.
Right?
What were they trying to do with that budget? I have to believe
that they were banking on you had two massive stars. Like they are Chris
likeable,
Pratt, likeable, massive star.
And this was supposed to be Keanu Reeves. His production company developed this movie.
I got to tell you. It would have been way... I would have hated it even more. And I like... Keanu Reeves and I have a very interesting...
Have you seen John Wick? He's coming off some pretty sweet...
Okay. That's like...
I'm just saying.
John Wick was an awesome movie. Yeah. And I think John Wick 2 is going to suck.
Oh, no.
I think as good as that first one was, they should have just left it alone. And that would have stood the test of time.
Okay, we'll see.
But we'll see. I honestly think that when you make a sequel to something that was not supposed to have a sequel, you're going to run into some problems.
I don't think
in this case, just my opinion, I don't think John Wick is a cash grab. I think like he loved this movie. The fans love this movie.
I agree.
I think they're going to try to make an awesome sequel. I don't think they're just cashing in.
I don't know.
Keanu Reeves is not that type of guy either. It's his movie, and he's producing it. He's starring. Like, he isn't a cash grab. You know, he makes money on The Matrix and gives it away.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like,
he's clearly not a cash grabber.
He's not a cash grabber.
He loves this property, and, like, I think he's going to make it as cool as... Who's directing it? It's the director of...
It's one of the guys that did... It's
one of the two that did...
Oh, no. That's one of those guys that... Is doing Deadpool.
Oh, one of them is going to Deadpool.
One of the two guys that did John Wick.
It went to Deadpool. I knew there was some kind of... Yeah. Okay, so...
But yeah, if this had been Keanu Reeves, I think it would have been even more bored.
I don't know.
I think he might have added some weight to it.
Maybe could have made the movie they wanted to make.
I guess especially if it's his production company.
He can do some deep stuff, like... You know what I mean? Like, well,
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Is the castle far?
He can. Listen, let's dissect my English language. He can do some deep stuff.
What was the last,
always does some deep stuff.
The lake house.
He can do some deep stuff.
Speak. No, okay.
Shut up, Joe.
Bill and Ted.
So we've seen Chris Pratt in space before. So there's baggage. There's bag number
here's
one
the,
coming down
the,
to
here's
conveyor
Here's what
belt.
I will say about Chris Pratt. It is hard for him to not be Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
It is hard for him not to be Andy Dwyer, is what you mean.
I think Andy Dwyer is Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
I don't think that's too far off from who he really is.
I think they wrote that. When you're on a sitcom for a long enough time,
you are that character.
They write to who you are.
Yeah. Right.
And that character becomes more and more like yourself.
Yes.
And I think that's a perfect example.
I don't think
because the first episodes, he was a dick. He was a dude.
He was not a nice
person. He was a loser.
It was almost like the first season of The Office, where Michael Scott is not a likable character.
Right.
And then they figure it out in the second season. You're like, oh, he's a lovable moron.
Right.
And then they figure that out.
Right.
But I will say that, like, Dwight, That's not Rainn Wilson. Like, if you see Rainn Wilson outside of it, that's not Dwight.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But I see what you're saying. Yeah. Like, Andy Dwyer became Chris Pratt and vice versa.
And they grew his role quite a bit more, because I don't think he was supposed to be
in it very long.
No, he was, he was supposed to break up with...
He was the catalyst, because it was supposed to be like the girl friendship was supposed to be the focus.
Right.
And he was going to be the catalyst. No,
Rashida Jones.
Rashida Jones.
Yeah. I thought he was done with the show until they fell out of the pit.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I guess they're bringing it back.
Yeah.
I fell into the pit. We fell into the pit.
So it's like when in a movie like this that I feel like is supposed to have a kind of serious tone, when he's doing the Chris Pratt thing and, you know, joking with Michael Shannon, Sheen, and, you know.
Oh, I wish Michael Shannon was in this. That would have added some.
How awesome is that
guy? If Michael Shannon was playing the Crash.
But,
Michael Shannon.
Yeah, that would have been great.
But the thing is that the only thing that stops you from completely hating this guy
is
the fact that it's Chris Pratt.
Yeah. I totally agree.
But it's like, okay, so first of all, let's start off with, so at least Dan, Joe, myself, we thought this was like Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt wake up together and they're trying to figure this thing out. How long is it before Jennifer Lawrence wakes up?
He's by himself for at least 30 minutes.
40?
Yeah.
So it's just a one-man show, which we've seen. It's called Moon.
Or Castaway.
But I mean, in space. Right. I mean, very similar.
We've seen
the movie Moon with Sam Rockwell by himself for 95% of the movie. And it's incredible.
And it's a movie that because of its budget...
Yes,
what it needed to do.
Yeah, he had little figurines. They did practical effects. Duncan Jones had little tiny moon figurine cars, and it looked incredible. And so you've got Chris Pratt like doing kind of the same thing. He's by himself. He's trying to get in funny little situations, and it's like it just didn't work for me. It was so boring.
It was very. I did find it very boring.
It was very boring.
We should probably let's just start.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we are introduced. We are shown this giant spaceship that is traveling from Earth to Avalon 2, or Homestead 2, because the Earth has become so overpopulated that the rich and powerful, or if you have a specific set of skills, you can go to Homestead 2, and it's like a new world. It's, you know, they're going to repopulate this world. It's untouched.
Wall-E.
Yes. Yeah. So they're cruising through, and they enter an asteroid field, and the ship apparently has like a shield, which makes sense, but one asteroid somehow manages to get through, and as they're cutting through, like something happens and Chris Pratt's hibernation pod malfunctions and he wakes up. So he's all excited because, you know, he's going to be there.
I'd like to call the first order of BS right here. When he wakes up, he should have to pee for about 10 minutes and start and stop. We know how this works. So first thing right off the bat.
Well, I'm assuming space catheter.
That's what I was thinking.
I've seen how this works. When you wake up from a cryogenic chamber, you have a, what do they call it?
Do you have a cryogenic chamber?
Well, yeah.
Are you 40 years? Are you like 900 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. No, from experience.
But we know how this works, so anyway.
Yeah, so he wakes up, and he's all excited, and then he slowly starts to realize he's the only one. He woke up too early.
He went to go to training.
He's like, where is everybody? You know, and these are the scenes where he's doing the Chris Pratt thing, where he's just like, got his hand up, when he's the only one there, and so he finds out that he woke up 89 years too early, and he can't get to see, like, nobody's answering any questions. He figures out that he can send a message back to Earth, which I thought was kind of funny, where he's just like, okay, your message will be received in 70 years.
Yeah, it takes and 19 then, years
then,
to send
and
it.
And then it will take
and
like
then,
another...
Yeah, it was 19 there and then
36
like another
36 back.
52 years.
Right.
And they billed him $6,000.
Yeah, so. I thought that was kind of funny. Well, it's kind of like, it was like that scene in The Martian where like he could send a message to Earth, but it would take like 3 weeks or something for them to get it. And then another 3 weeks for him to get it back. So he just kind of like, he goes to like get a coffee and like all of the coffee machine, like the coffee makers only do like Gold Club. So he's just like a black coffee.
I called this out loud. I said it cause he's like, I want the special cappuccino. No, you don't have this. Okay. I want this. And I go, he's going to get a coffee.
Yeah.
Like a black coffee,
oatmeal. It was pretty much so easy.
Like the jokes were not clever. Like
they weren't clever, but
stupid.
I will say again, Chris Pratt is a very funny dude. And he like the way he works the camera, he makes it just funny enough. You know what I mean? Like, any semblance
of something that was funny was saved by him.
Saved
being Chris
by
Pratt
him.
Because
but
I, I at no point did I think this movie was supposed to be funny.
Neither did I.
But I, but think I thought that,
I mean,
there
I
would
get,
be
moments of humor.
Yeah, I, that's how I interpret them as moments of humor. I didn't. Yeah. Expect,
there were a lot of reshoots in this movie, and I think they had a whole lot of nothing, and they probably tried to inject some humor to save it because I don't think it was supposed to be funny, and I think they added a lot more to get at least have like some entertainment value.
Right,
would be my guess.
But I would say that like the moments of humor in Manchester by the Sea were I thought funnier.
I also felt like
and
they were more
not funny,
they were
and they
more
were
fluid,
they
and
were
more
organic.
Organic,
and they were organic.
Yeah,
where this is just like
manufactured.
Yeah, this was. It just felt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Off.
So he tries to break into the crew. Like he sees, he knows where the crew chambers are, and he can't get in there because the door's all locked.
Which, by the way, I was like, whoa, man. Don't, you can't, don't wake up.
I, sorry. But I mean, like,
change of plans. I know you're supposed to sleep for another 70 years, but I needed to
we need to help,
revive
you. Yeah, we, at least one of you needs to wake up and get me back to sleep.
Space crowbar.
Space crowbar.
At least he had a space crowbar because you know those doors would just pry right open with that technology.
Yeah, exactly. So he goes and he's kind of resigned himself to the idea that, like, I'm stuck. There's no, you know, the nobody can help me. He starts drinking with, you know, Michael Sheen. He's not related, right?
No.
It's because a completely different family.
Oh, yeah. They're not.
He's
not,
she's not, she's not a,
no.
Right. Okay.
No.
And I actually, I like.
One's British.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. Yeah. So.
There's no tiger blood over on that side.
He realized, he saw the writing on the wall. He's like, I'm going to England. You guys are on your own.
Completely.
Well, and that's not the family name anyway. The family name is Estevez.
Estevez. That's true. Yeah. He's the illegitimate son of Martin Sheen. You heard it here first on Real Spoilers. You're wrong with that.
You did not hear it here first on Real Spoilers.
Yes, you do
not.
I actually liked that dude is good in everything.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he's
even
fine.
In this, he was great.
Yeah.
I remember I watched, I think he's in the, is it the third Underworld? Whatever one is the prequel. Mm-hmm. He's good in that. Like, that movie is not bad.
Twilight.
He can ham it up and still
Twilight.
Be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Twilight so Breaking Dawn.
No,
right?
Is,
he's the main
is.
Bad vampire.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He's the main.
I was
guy.
Like, no, Kevin. It's Underworld: Rise of the Lycans. That's what I'm talking about. But he's like the robot bartender, and he's very likable and funny, and you know, he's kind of like a not so funny version of K2.
You know what this? I could not get past the fact that this was and the way it was filmed too, the lighting and everything.
Yeah.
It at that point, I was like, God, this is just like The Shining.
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought the exact
I'm like,
same
this
thing.
Is just like
the
Shining.
The whole bar.
And it was creeping me out the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm like, does anybody else think this looks like The Shining?
Yeah. Yes.
That's looks, not good.
I think they set it up for him to be like by himself, like when Jack is by himself going to the bar, talking to the bartender. Yeah.
But then it looked just like.
So I was like, you know, doing my own like creepies inside because nothing was happening in the movie. So I was like, ooh.
So
I'm just going to pretend it's better.
So time progresses and we learn that he's been there by himself for a year.
Oh, because his beard gets longer.
Right.
Well, yes. Yeah.
That was a really bad beard.
That was a bad beard.
It was terrible.
It wasn't like if he had had like.
And
you know,
a wig.
And like the scruff. Oof. You know, okay, but that was bad. That was like Arrow bad.
Oh yeah,
that
man.
was wig time bad.
He looked like the Castaway Johnny screensaver.
But I'm like, so we see a montage, and the beard is getting longer, the hair is getting longer, and then when he finally decides to shave, I'm like, how will we monitor the passage of time? This is out. This
now
is outrageous.
I don't know what to do. So he ends up like he's walking past his pod, trying to figure out like you know, trying to fix it, and then he walks past Jennifer Lawrence's character, and he's just like, "You're kind of hot," and I was like, "She is kind of hot. That's true."
Yeah, and this is where the movie. I was like, "Uh oh, what
but
is
I,
happening?"
I think you know, a year and a half by himself, and he starts. He starts.
Yeah, the
going
movie
through.
Tries to create the situation where you sympathize,
right? And
where
there's
you,
no
where
way
you can. They try to create a situation where. You can understand
why he would
even if you don't approve.
He would end somebody's life. And when she does, like so she wakes up and there's a scene where she's like, "You murdered me," and I was like,
"Yeah,
yeah, you kind of did."
No, well, yeah, but
and I feel what the movie should have done is they should have amped up his level of crazy.
Yes,
because
instead of like as soon as waking her up, he's like, "Hey, I'm normal." Is
like,
that what you mean?
The choice to wake her up should have been driven. Less by loneliness and more by the insanity that solitary confinement will inflict upon a person.
Yeah. Okay.
And like that, then the choice would be like, well, it's a manifestation of this mental illness that has developed, mm-hmm. and so he's kind of a victim of it too.
I see.
But instead, it's just like right. he's sad and lonely.
No, yeah,
and
drunk.
And after a year by himself, yeah. he wouldn't be sad and lonely. He would be
insane,
bordering on insane.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now, I also maybe not because the ship does have a lot of things to keep you involved. He does at least have a fairly advanced conversation with the robot bartender.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So
even, he's got some brains.
Right.
Also.
Well, I mean, we've even seen like, I mean, at this point, it's almost like reminiscent of Groundhog Day, which was deeper.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, handled that sort of like repetition.
Mm-hmm.
And we've like, you know, in Groundhog Day, we watch Bill Murray, like he learns how to play piano and he learns, right. you know, like, yeah. because it's like, there's nothing to do.
Yeah. He uses the time for self-improvement.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
This, I was just like,
he's breaking into people's headquarters.
Well, you know, like, it's quarters like, and Tom's right. It's like, I mean, if in better hands, we would watch somebody who's in solitary confinement, surrounded by people.
Right. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it's like,
yeah, water everywhere, but not a drop to
right.
drink.
It's
yeah,
like they yeah. could have made that and it'd been, you know, like, but they didn't.
No.
They, I also, you know, he just is like some guy who like, ooh.
The version I was thinking of was a Black Mirror episode where he goes through all of this and he wakes up Jennifer Lawrence and they have this life. And then when the crew wakes up, it's just Chris Pratt. Mm-hmm. Like he had a mental break.
Oh, gotcha,
and he
yeah.
envisioned all of this stuff yeah. happening when in reality, yeah.
It's imaginary.
It's a Wilson. Yeah, 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 exactly.
And the movie also
that
tries.
Also, would have been better.
Yeah. Well, and the movie also tries to hedge its bet by she's an author,
right?
And yes. he's reading all of her books, and he's like, "I fell in love with your mind."
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, if you yeah. want to convince me you fell in love with her mind,
go get Kathy Bates.
Wake up, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, honestly, I was like, yeah. See, that would have been more interesting is if they would have gone against type.
Right.
But of course, I mean, this is like he's space doctor, 100%. I'm like,
I won't
this
deny
is
the space
creepy.
Talking. He definitely like yeah.
he stacked the deck so hard. Like he basically, you know, went through her Facebook. He checked all her mutual friends. He looked yeah. at all her photos. He looked at her friends' accounts to see more photos of her.
Yeah.
Like he 100% space doctor.
Yes.
Now he wakes her up after
he's been awake for about a year and a half,
but he attempts suicide after that.
No, he attempts suicide
before. Because
yeah.
he almost, he goes into the airlock because you could wear these yeah. like robotic type space suits
it's for the rich folk
yeah.
and they have all these different, you know, things you can do where you can walk out onto this
yeah.
spaceship and then get untethered.
And you're tethered to the ship.
Right,
can
right.
I ask you a question? So we learn in the film they're traveling at half the speed of light speed.
Okay.
How do you go outside and walk around in the ship? Isn't moving at half the speed of light speed?
I'm not an astronaut.
I don't know the physics on that.
It's just no, it's just stupid. I mean, that's another one of those things where it's like you couldn't go outside the ship if it was traveling at half of light speed. Because he goes outside and it's just like...
I honestly don't.
I have no clue.
Display my ignorance. I honestly don't know. I mean, I know you're in a car going 60 miles an hour, but you don't...
But
now you're stepping outside the car. I mean, I get
yeah,
that.
He's
I,
outside
yeah.
the spaceship.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I'm not smart
no
enough
clue.
To know.
It, but there's no wind in space.
Yeah.
That, I mean,
seriously.
That's true.
Unless you had
Mexican.
It's
a vacuum.
Unless you had
what? You know what I mean?
Unless you had
Mexican. I don't know how it works. Like, I don't
yeah.
know if, like,
yeah.
if you're attached to it and you go outside, you go, like, sweep,
yeah.
you know, like when you stick
it's
your
a,
hand out the
yeah.
window.
I think
I
we're saying
it
it's a
like
fair
that.
Question to
yeah.
ask,
yeah.
but
no,
we don't know enough
don't,
to know
if
it's,
we have any
if
astrophysicists
yeah.
that listen
yeah.
to the show, message
yeah.
us.
Yeah. I just
tell
think there's no
works.
Way he would have been able to go outside the ship, and it seemed like the ship was going so slow, and
mm-hmm.
when later on we see two people outside the ship, and he's just kind of slowly moving, the ship is
yeah.
moving at half the speed of light speed. They'd be gone...
I don't know. I have no clue.
Well,
yeah.
I'm pretty confident. It's just bad writing. That's another part of the story that's just like they didn't think it through. They didn't
know,
have
point,
this
that
is
was
also,
like
but,
he was just a space skis. Like,
yeah, so he comes back in and he sits
but yeah,
down
yeah, he's
with
in
her.
An airlock. He's about to
release.
This is before
he sees her.
But that's I think that's where they're trying to also have see how crazy
how
and
broken
he's
he
about
is.
To kill himself. This
nah.
was his only.
She saved him.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
they're trying to do.
And,
yeah.
and
he says
that.
It. Yeah.
yeah,
you saved me.
And you
he
know,
says a lot. Men say a lot of things.
Luckily,
and all along this time, we're seeing like they'll flash to like some monitor somewhere that shows that there's things malfunctioning.
Yeah, but then they fix. Like, in that first time they show it, they're like, malfunction,
yeah.
malfunction, malfunction.
Yeah, but they
and
it keeps
fixed.
Happening.
Right, but it's getting worse
and worse.
It keeps
going
right.
to, like, something, this is broken, and it's repairing.
And I, like,
and
a part of me, I was like,
repairing.
Oh, it's Ned, or it's Hal. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, so Hal, the computer itself is taking over and it's breaking stuff. Nope, that's not a thing.
No,
I
mean, it's just,
yeah,
just
more, you know, me putting it to but like, so when you say it was, how often, I feel like we've just seen this recently where something was on the blacklist and it got made and it was garbage.
Yeah.
What? There was something else that we saw that.
There's just these movies that the, in
yeah,
theory,
but
the concept
something else that we
seems
saw
interesting,
this year,
but
that like it was a black it was a blacklist script.
Yeah.
And then it got made and you're just like, well, there's a reason it sucked. Like there, this is why it was bad. So he ends up, he figures out that he can deactivate Jennifer Lawrence's pod, and her name is Aurora Lang, I think is her
Lane.
Name.
Lane.
Yeah. So he figures out that he can deactivate her, her pod.
Aurora, a reference to Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, it was a little, I was just like,
yeah, that was a bit.
Even that, I was like, what? What a weird name, but that makes more sense.
No, I was just like, what? Come on.
So he figures, like, so he's going back and forth with the robot bartender and himself. He's like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to do it. And then, of course, he shaves and he cuts his hair. And I was like, well, all right. Good luck explaining that. So he goes in. He deactivates her pod. She wakes up again. Same scenario that he has where she thinks that everything's all right and she's ready to go. So now then she finds out, like, they run to, like, he comes from around, like, she's running around the ship in the same fashion that he was about a year ago, and then they kind of meet up, and he was like, are you awake? You're awake? We're both awake?
This is crazy.
Look at this crazy situation we're in.
Gadzooks. What are the odds? 89 years
zounds.
Old.
And it was, zounds.
We're not saving it for this one.
Yeah.
No. This is definitely a
zounds?
No,
it's a gadzooks.
I don't even want to dip
and
back
it's weird,
into-
like, he
yowzers.
Yoinks.
Yeah, because it's not
this is kind of like a Scooby-Doo mystery.
But it's not, because there's no villain to pull the mask off of.
Yes, there was. It was Chris Pratt.
Yeah,
Chris Pratt's the villain the whole time.
He pulled his beard off.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But that's the problem.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for Lawrence Fishburne and those crazy
space
kids.
Space rapist.
Yeah, that's the thing is, in this movie, like, the most villainous person is your protagonist. Right. Yeah. It's like, there is no big bad, like, the company set them up to fail, and it's all, it's like, you kept waiting for the Scooby-Doo reveal.
No, I wanted Paul Reiser to show up.
Yeah.
I was like, come on.
No, Lance.
Well, there's something people don't wish for very often.
No. His best role that he ever played was that.
You see that trailer? Aliens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll give it a go.
No, yeah.
So, yeah.
That
so they,
trailer, that new Alien movie had more everything
than this movie. Well, the thing is, we've never been burned by trailers before, so it'll be great.
Oh, totally. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. Three times in theaters.
Damn it, I saw it. Oh, I did see it three times.
You did.
I paid for it twice.
You did.
Yeah, I paid for it twice.
We're still paying.
No, you paid. Technically, you paid for it three times.
No, I didn't. I did not pay for it.
This is a man who thinks.
No, you paid for it.
This is a man who clearly thinks his time has no value.
Yeah. I know.
Nope, none whatsoever.
Start putting some math on that, man.
So they, you know, he kind of tells her, he's like, I've been awake for a year. Mm. Like, I don't know what happened to your pod, but I've been awake for a year, so I've tried all this stuff already. And then,
but yeah, she's got beautiful eyes.
But she's got to try it all herself because
women
right.
Yeah. Won't listen to us for anything.
But she also has the magic credit card, so she
does.
Gets all the
which
good
I
stuff.
Which I did like that, where she's, you know, she's a gold member, and he was just like, what? Oh. And she's like, is that what you've been eating for a year? It's just like a block of oatmeal. He's like, yep. She was like, here, get whatever you want. And she gives him, like, you know, an actual breakfast with real food.
Although, I do believe that the jackhammer and stuff wouldn't open the ship's deck.
I have to believe it would open the food.
I think it would open.
Yeah,
the
yeah, I know.
Right.
There was
right.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, I think
he got into the ultra secure penthouse suite.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
he couldn't open the oatmeal bar.
Well, space crow bar. Yeah, space crow bar doesn't work on two.
Also, by the way, it's like, that's just a vending machine, but it's got to be coming from somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's
just,
the
just find that?
Find the tube. That's what I'm saying when I say this movie is dumb. Everything
dumb.
About it is just literally, and it's dumb. It's a poorly
they
written,
make some bad choices.
Very stupid script.
No, I'm only going to use this jackhammer for a giant metaphor. Okay.
Oh.
So they start, you know, developing a relationship, and then finally he takes one of the vacuum bots and you know, sent mounts of
camera.
Oh,
that's what he's been doing for a year.
He mounts of
He's like,
he
mounts you call it a Roomba, I call it a Woomba.
That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Ooh, you got doubled on that one. That's stereo.
Yeah, so he, you know, he asks her on a date, and then they begin this relationship. And
took you long enough.
Yeah. The scene that I did find kind of interesting is, they're at the bar. He has broken open the box of rare metals and somehow welded a ring together. But I guess he's a mechanic.
Yeah.
So he knows kind of what he's doing.
Hold on.
Okay.
So they have a box of rare metals around, but he can't get a cappuccino?
That's what I'm saying.
He can just find a box of rare metals. Ah, good. I found that gold.
It's set
worth
in like
millions
print.
Of dollars.
Rare metals. And you can't get a decent, you know, order of fries?
Yeah. No, nope. Black coffee.
Black coffee and a cube
and square.
Cube of oatmeal.
Yeah.
Yeah, square so oatmeal. So he welds this ring together. He's going to ask her to marry him. Because I think that at this point, they've both been awake for... He's been awake for two. She's been awake for one.
Oh, and who tailors the clothes? Because he had a tailored suit.
He broke into some... Oh, well.
Yeah. Fit him perfectly.
Right, yeah,
like,
sure.
I'm
sure,
just, you know, no big deal.
No big deal. It's almost like, what was it, Dirty Grandpa, where they break in, they steal, like, the frat guy's outfits, and they just magically fit
Robert De Niro
perfectly.
Can fit
yeah, right.
Well, you know, it's just like when he first woke up and he puts on his clothes and he can't decide, you know, he knows that, like, everybody's going to be gathering
actually,
the deck.
I did like that scene where he's
I
just
did
like...
too. Yeah. But then it's like, so this is a... I was like, oh, this is kind of an awkward, lighthearted movie.
Right.
Yeah. No,
it's not.
Just a moment that they thought they'd throw in there because, you know, people
Chris Pratt.
But it's
I
not
think
that
again,
movie.
Maybe
yeah.
reshoots. I think they probably went back and tried to put something into this movie to save it.
Yeah.
That would make people go, oh, that was a fun movie, because I think it was going to be really dire, and especially from the trailers and everything, and I think you get all those. It's just a guess.
Yeah.
But
no, I think that's probably true.
And
I
it
think,
must I have think... had to do something with the ending, because we'll get to it, but there's an actor that's in it for under 30 seconds.
So I have, I think they did with that actor. It's Andy Garcia.
Yeah.
He had to be a part of something. Well, no, I think they flipped a coin. And they're like, look, either you're going to be in the last 5 seconds or Lawrence Fishburne's going to be in the last 5 seconds. And then they would just flip roles.
Yeah.
And whoever heads or tails, whoever wins, he gets to have the longer time in the movie.
It's a bizarre.
It is very
role.
Bizarre. When he walks out and I was like, Andy Garcia?
I said the same thing. I go, is that Andy Garcia? Because he's in the last scene before the credits.
He's
right.
He's literally in it for like 30 seconds.
So. What I mean, have we ever seen a movie? I know that they sometimes do a bait and switch. I mean, ever since even Psycho, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen a famous actor get cast and killed off early on.
Yes.
Have we ever seen Drew
Barrymore?
Yeah. Have we ever seen an actor cast to be in the last 30 seconds of a movie with no dialogue and it's an actor, like a real famous actor?
I feel like
actor.
Kevin Costner, maybe something like where he shows up.
I don't think we've ever seen it to this degree, though.
Kevin
right?
Costner played the corpse in
Big Chill,
and they shot more.
But they shot, that's true.
Matthew Fox was
a helicopter pilot.
It was a larger role that got trimmed,
Well, I think that was going to be bigger. Did they do that for the sequel?
They redid a lot of that
because they were.
She was supposed to basically have to trade her vagina to stay in the camp, and he was going to be the guy that she was trading with.
Yeah. But anyway, so I would love to know. I mean, I really don't want to explore too much more into this movie, but I do want to know what his role was, because that is a bizarre role.
Because our time is valuable.
Yes.
Yeah.
You could do a report and have it on my desk.
Let's see what I can do. You want double space?
I do think somewhere there's a much more, at least, adventurous version of this film.
Yeah. So, speaking of Drew Barrymore, I just bought that Scream box set on Blu-ray. She was supposed to be the main character. Like that,
what?
Yeah, there was a whole like she that character in the beginning of
that
Scream
dies off.
That dies
off.
She was supposed to be. Yeah, she no. Well, not, well, I think she was supposed to have a much larger role.
Right,
and then she went to Wes Craven, and Bob Weinstein was like, "I don't want to be the main character anymore." And of course, they're all just like, "What?" And she was like, "I want to die in the first 10 minutes." And they're just like,
I think it's cool, and I think they got people talking.
You
know?
Are like the centerpiece of this movie, and she was like, "I know."
I think it's a good choice, though.
Oh,
for
yeah,
that movie,
it was crazy.
I think it was a cool choice.
She was the front and center on the promo posters. Yeah. She was front and center on everything.
But that was Psycho.
Yeah, that was the thing.
And then you're
just like,
they just gutted Drew Barrymore.
That's cool. I think it was a great choice, though.
It was pretty good.
Because how many people probably talked about it and was like,
oh, yeah.
Drew Barrymore died in the first movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I remember.
Minutes. Yeah.
I remember.
How did that go? Do you remember?
I remember the point.
It was like 97, right?
And they had an interview set up with Neve Campbell to promote the film. And at the time, they were... kind of bummed that they didn't get Drew Barrymore
because
they felt like, oh, we didn't get the star of the movie.
But you did.
But they did, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
That movie holds up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, like, given how 90s it is.
Well, I mean, there's not a lot that...
It's just 90s that, references.
I mean, there's, if anything, that would date it is just
cell phones.
The small use of technology.
Yeah.
This is good. Anyway, back to this one, I guess.
Please.
Halloween episode.
So she's up.
She wakes up. They're going to marry her. And then, like, I do like the line where he goes, nope, no more secrets between us. And I was like, well, that was a dumb thing to say.
Yeah. Well, and he had already, like, I guess, worked out the deal with the
Android.
Yeah. He had he told the bartender, don't tell her this earlier. And so when they're in that scene,
and she's like, no secrets.
There's no
secrets. Yeah, no secrets.
He tells the bartender asks for clarification. So there are no secrets between you?
Right,
and he's like,
so
nope. Let me leave the room now so the plot can move forward.
So he's just like, oh, man, I remember like a year ago he was sitting here and he couldn't wait to meet you. And she's like, time out. What do you mean? And he was like, oh, when he decided to wake you up. And of course, this is where all hell breaks loose. Both, I mean, they try to sync it up where, like, their relationship completely falls apart, and then the ship also begins to fall apart.
He's got the wedding ring, though. He goes to the bathroom. He's got it in his hand, ready to propose
to her.
Of
course he does. And I do like the look on his face is kind of funny in a weird way. Like, and not in a funny, like, no, like, ha-ha
like
way,
black
but like,
humor.
Oh, man.
When he walks out, she's like, doing the ugly cry.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And he's just like,
oh, yeah.
What's up?
She's doing a full-blown, Oscar-winning actress.
Yeah, and that's Jennifer, like, Jennifer Lawrence is a fantastic actress.
And yeah, so she's doing that, and he's like, oh.
And he's like, oh, no. What's the matter? And she was like, ah! And, you know, so they break up. And then
break up in space.
It is kind of, it's also, you know, a darker humor where, like, they have to cross paths. Like, they're it. There's nobody else on this ship where they have to see each other.
Yeah, they share custody of the
he's like, it's Tuesday. It's my day with
Arnie
or whatever.
But, you know, and the difference is, see, in a better movie, we would care.
Right.
That's true.
I did not care about either of these people. I did not feel bad for Chris Pratt. I was just like, this is just
horrific. I felt bad for Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I get that. But it's like, I didn't really care about them. So I'm like, whatever. Just, what is going on?
She just show up in the middle of the night and kicks his ass, though.
Oh, which my God. I love that scene.
I'm like, okay. She is beating his ass.
I have a story that it's not about me.
Oh.
It's not.
I know a friend.
No. This is legit. Like, it's a buddy.
Uh-huh.
And, like, him and his gal had gotten into a... he had got caught doing something he shouldn't have been doing. He woke up to her sitting on his chest with a gun to his head.
Oh.
And he was just like, I'm really sorry. And then she puts the gun down and proceeds to beat the bejesus. Like, this is a real story. I'm not making this up. Beats the bejesus out of him. And she was like, you ever do that again, I'll fucking kill you. And he was like, noted.
Now they're happily married?
No, they're both dead. But no, I'm there. No.
Jesus.
That's not true. No.
Yeah.
No, they're no longer together. But I wonder why.
I can't imagine.
But yes, like,
I'm shocked.
As I'm watching, I was like, oh, I know this. This is a real thing that has happened before.
But it's interesting because in movies, usually you see, you know, like the female partner. Of course, it's not like the man beating up the woman, you know, usually in this.
Yeah.
You know, but you see like the woman on top of the guy beating him, kind of slapping him.
No, she's beating the holy hell
out of
him.
But I mean, she is punching him in the face, hitting him. I'm like, I've never seen that dynamic of like the woman actually just like,
kicking him, kneeing him in the head and stuff
crazy.
Like that. Yeah, it was. So, and then she goes. Like, and then she leaves.
Yeah, and here's another moment where they could have made a different movie. After that.
Yeah. But they don't. I will say this. They stick to the course. Like, they're, you know what? We're just going to keep going. We've got these glimmers of something better, but...
Yeah, we've already parked the car stupid town. Let's just stay here for a while.
And then...
It's a really good parking spot. I'm not moving.
And then Cowboy Curtis shows up.
And it was like, when he walks out, and I was like... Well, is he real?
In his finest space blues.
Is he like? Is he a part
hologram?
Of, well, that's I was going with like the HAL idea,
oh.
where it's just like, is he part of the ship? Like, is the ship messing with him at this point?
And again, this is where I thought there was some kind of twist-a-roo coming.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, he knows what's going on, and this is where we're gonna get a twist. It's like it never happens.
No, but he like
he's got a space cold.
Yeah.
Admiral plot device.
He's like, oh, my stupid pod made
Admiral
me sick.
Atu.
And I was like, I feel like you might have already been sick before you got into that pod. If you and then they're just like they go to the sick bay because he, you know, they're figuring out what's wrong and they realize that, you know, the ship has like an astroid field a part of the asteroid has broken through and hit like a computer or something that just takes a big old floppy disk. Just pull that one out, put the new one in, and you're good to go. Has broken like the thermal nuclear fusion, Fusion thing. The other plot device.
Budget.
This is where the entire budget
Yes.
And it's not ventilating correctly, so that's why everything's starting to shut down. We keep looking at the clock because we're trying to get through 60 minutes of suck.
We're trying.
So, yeah. So, but now Perry White is sick, and he can't, like... So they put him in, like, the med bay, and they put him in the little cylinder thingy. And it
what other movie is it where they go into a like a capsule?
Prometheus.
Is it Prometheus?
Is that Alien? Yeah, where Alien. Where she does the surgery to get
She was she pregnant?
Yeah,
she was pregant in the movie, right?
Yeah, to get the surgery to get the baby out the alien.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
But she was pregnant in the. The thing she was pregnant with was part alien.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
So that's what I'm thinking. So they just took that like medical device.
Well, also, I mean, they were in like. Like hibernation pods and Alien.
Right.
Like that's what they were sleeping in.
And tons of sci-fi.
The hibernation pod isn't a new thing.
Yeah. Like Well, this was like a
Michael Jackson had one.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like a medical, you know.
And it comes up with like 167 things that are wrong with
No, yeah, like 612 diseases.
Everything.
What?
I know. I'm just, what?
I feel like those would have shown up pre-flight.
I know. That number was outrageous. He couldn't have had four conditions.
Yeah, you could have been like, you've got a cold and cancer.
Yeah, but
no.
You could have four terminal conditions, right? 600 and something.
Gingivitis. Scabies.
Yeah.
Restless leg syndrome.
He's got scurvy. He's got an inner ear infection.
I'm going through menopause.
ADD.
Like, get it all.
Male pattern baldness. Yeah.
Female pattern baldness.
Yeah. And so then he's just like, what's the prognosis? He's like, you're fine. He's like, no, I'm not. So
blue balls.
Yeah. That would be the worst. Let's be honest. That's you're dreaming and it's just a mess. he ends up dying.
Yeah,
They put him back in his dress blues, and they almost do it like Spock.
You know, it's too bad when he ended up dying, they didn't put him in the medical device and just press every single procedure to zap him and hit him and bonk him. And
that would never work.
Yeah, that would never work, Kevin.
All procedures go. Select all go. Yeah. Too bad they didn't think about that, but they might.
I don't think that would work though.
Never would work.
Never would work. No.
Surely we'll never see anyone attempt
that. Will never come back ever.
No. So
they do the Spock burial where they just shoot him out of the.
I go. Oh, they're gonna shoot flaming space arrows at him as he drifts off.
Well, there's no oxygen in space, Kevin. It wouldn't work.
Cue Amazing Grace.
Yeah. Right. And... Right. It's Hallelujah. That's the new one. That's good Lord.
Yes, but Amazing Grace is in the public domain.
Oh, that's true. Good point. Yeah. So, now they've started to sort of mend their relationship a little bit because they have to work together to fix the spaceship.
Well, they know that there's,
something
bigger at stake.
Right. So Pratt figures out that he had, like, they're trying to ventilate this nuclear fission thing and it won't ventilate from the inside. So guess what he has to do, Tom?
Spacewalk.
He has to go to the outside. And then he's got to somehow
at half the speed of light speed.
Or he doesn't get sucked away because
have you seen light speed in Star Wars?
Like, well, let's not compare it to a
better
movie.
I'm just saying, just cut that in half and you think that it goes to like a nice gentle
I don't think Star Wars is necessarily
I'm just saying light speed is very fast.
I
don't think we should look to Star Wars though for proof that the physics aren't working.
I'm just saying
these ships explode. You see flames.
I hear
And there's sound.
I just don't have a good reference for traveling at light speed, but half of it is
because
not
because
like
I don't think spaceships can do that. So it's just science fiction.
But light speed is a real speed.
Light speed
so what
is
I'm
a real
saying
speed.
Is that at half a light speed, I mean, it's just
well,
a dumb
question. Okay, hold up though, because gravity does have a great deal of science behind it, and we had even talked about earlier that gravity is probably part of the reason why we have this whole space movie resurgence with respected actors. Because that was a really good movie. And that one, you remember
turning.
They weren't traveling at half light speed.
No, but
that's all I'm saying is that
within the, orbit of the of the ship. They stayed within that.
Yeah.
I mean, they kept the same speed.
And the ship was like kind of like wheels.
Yeah,
that
and they were never like whoa. You know, like, yeah. They were just like, you know.
I just think the difference was that really caught me was like they're heading to a destination that takes 200 years, and so they're traveling at half light speed constantly to get to their destination.
Why would they just travel at light speed?
Well, that's how fast they're.
I'm assuming,
but
they
if the
could,
thing
they
took off.
Oh,
here's
I
the thing,
okay.
though. So it took off at just like on that in that movie. They were already in motion when they separated, so they're still in motion because there's nothing to push against it. There's no wind resistance. There's there's no atmosphere. There's no gravity. So when they're doing that, they're already in motion. So when they, you know, they started here and they started to rotate and then they detached, they kept going in that at the same speed.
It's interesting. Awesome. I don't know.
That's actual science there.
Yeah.
That's not made up science.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I would like see the thing is I don't believe that you know they had a Neil deGrasse Tyson on this movie.
No, but I mean like I mean so they were already going at that speed. So
no,
when
I
they
just,
stepped out, they would continue at that speed because there's nothing that the inertia to go that has already happened.
Yeah.
So to push them at that speed, they're already going at that speed.
That's
so just because they detach
to push, there's
from
nothing
it,
to push against them
when they detach from it. Doesn't, there's no reason for them to slow down. That's also like you
like
know,
if you're on a plane and you jump up, the plane doesn't move underneath you. You land.
You're still going
right.
The plane.
Yeah, like when you're inside
fly,
a plane,
right?
Like if you jumped up in the middle of a plane in flight,
that's
you didn't go and fly into the back of the plane.
I'll have to look it up. I just feel like there's a different dynamic when you're going at half a light speed.
Well,
I don't think so.
I don't
think
know.
It's, it's because there's no gravity.
Yeah,
there's nothing stopping.
This has been science talk.
Yes. Thank you.
So I'm sure he'll be fine.
Oh,
this is where you know he has to go outside.
He's gotta go, but he also gets like Captain America's shield and somehow is able to use that as a shield.
I don't know.
He cuts off a door. And it's just like, yeah, I'll be fine. What's the worst that could happen? Whoa.
I was like, what's that? Doesn't that door
go to something?
Don't they need that?
Yeah.
Like
maybe
to take
seal
the door.
Maybe to seal the pressure. To,
I don't
like,
know. Anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, wait a minute. Didn't he try to get into other doors earlier and...
Yeah, but now he's got space lasers.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. I forgot that he got the
well, the guy did
the pass.
When the
oh,
when,
he gave him
when
like
Admiral,
his
when
Admiral
when,
Akbar
when Admiral Plot Device woke up.
He gave him the hall pass.
He gave him the thing that worked, the little pat.
Yeah,
he gave
he gave him the fast pass.
He gave him the magic band.
Yeah,
and that's right. He got the magic band.
And then also I think he had access to different tools too at that point.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
open up a whole new world.
So he goes outside.
Why he's a plot device?
Exactly. And he goes to open it, and obviously he gets it open, and he holds it, the little device to hold it open, and he lets it go, and it closes. So he has to stay there. Oh, for Christ's sake.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay, light speed is 186,000 miles per second.
Yes.
Okay. So if he was moving at around 90,000 miles per second, could a human, would a human not get nauseous at that speed?
Not if you're, well, I don't know.
I don't, they're already
going I'm just saying,
at
could
that
you,
speed.
Right, but could a human without any
no,
kind
because you,
like in the
because,
ship you've
no,
got
because you've got gravity. Like you're not just spinning around aimlessly. Like you're there's that scene where they are running
but inside
around,
the ship they
inside
have gravity,
the ship they
but
have
outside,
gravity.
But
right,
outside
but outside if you were going 90,000 miles a second, could the human body could you even possibly not get nauseous and just
well, but does it have to be that extreme speed? What about our astronauts that did spacewalks? And on the ISS? I mean,
yeah,
what speed are they
too.
Going?
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing it's not, but not 90,000.
But the ship's not hovering.
Second.
But if it's like 30,000.
I don't think it would be. I guarantee they're not going 30,000 miles a second.
Up in space, hovering around?
I also think
they're not going.
Those astronauts are trained.
They're not going 200. I mean, at that point, they're going, you know.
Spaceships travel 17,000 miles per hour.
Okay. And we know that they come outside and they stay within the same orbit. They don't like.
To remain in orbit.
They don't go
they
flapping
to 17,
around like they're on a string and they're like, oh, hang on to them, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so they're going 17,000 miles per hour outside in space when they're, when they're fixing the Hubble telescope and stuff like that. So
Mike broke the Hubble.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. I think they're already...
Yeah,
we know that.
It's interesting. I'm just trying to find interesting things about this movie to think about.
So
I really just want to ask these
right
questions.
Track,
like, how
you're making the movie much more interesting.
So anyway,
so yeah, so they this is when she all of a sudden realizes that she's in love with him again, and she's like, you gotta come back. Like,
worst line in the movie.
That was awful.
That's just painful.
It was awful. I can't
space.
You die, I die. And I like his reaction was like, there's 5,000 other people on that ship. That's
and
not,
she's like, oh, now you care about other people.
Yeah. Wake them up.
But they're not hot enough to have sex with.
And I'm sure.
Take your pick.
If it had been me, I'd be like, that's not a bad, that's a good point.
Yeah.
None of them look like Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, but she's got space Stockholm syndrome.
That's right. Yeah, that's what space Stockholm syndrome
is. She does. I was like, what?
So, yeah, he gets out there and she ventilates the shaft. No pun intended.
Oh, boy.
But
really
also, like, he starts to,
like, my shaft is getting ventilated as I was sitting there.
And not in a fun way.
No.
Or it's fun. Whatever you and Ellie do, it's fine.
Nope.
I'll never let go, Jack.
Yeah. So he has, like, the door right in front of him, and he's, like, he's standing there. And I don't think that door went all the way to his feet. So, like, from his shins down, he should have been roasted. Like,
yeah,
they should not have been there at all.
I don't know.
So he gets knocked out of the thing, and he thinks he's okay because he's just spinning, because he's got the tether. And then, like, he's got a hole in his spacesuit. And then, much like, which I just watched Guardians of the Galaxy last night. And I was like, it's the same damn scene.
And he's freezing.
It's the exact same scene.
I was like, didn't he just do this?
They did just do this. So she goes out there. She's like, I'm coming for you. And she grabs him, and I think his tether, she's just out of fingertips reach.
Yeah.
And then, like, she's like, oh, no. And I was like, just wait for the tether to come back around. Oh, yeah. Okay, good. There it is.
Yeah.
His tether is still there. Perfect. So they bring him back in, and he's dead. And then she throws him on the operating table. And it's the same deal. It's just like, all. Select all.
Hang on. He was only mostly dead.
He had no heartbeat.
Yeah.
So he was
dead. They put him on this operating table, which they did not use on Cowboy Curtis.
No. They did. They diagnosed him on the table.
Right, but they didn't press the button.
Yeah,
but
they
she's
said,
like,
sorry.
No. And then, like, he's dead, and she's like, no, fix him, and select all, and there's like 12 procedures. Yeah. And I was laughing out loud. Literally, he's getting zapped and hit and
shot.
Yeah. It is just like ridiculous.
A pap smear.
Yeah. Every
he's
single
like, wait a minute.
Yeah, and she did do like select all. There probably were all sorts of procedures.
Yeah, he
delivered a baby. But like, so
using the whole fist there, Doc.
Yeah.
But this is just bonkers, the way that you see him getting all these procedures done. It's just hilarious. Yeah. And the fact that would work, like, you can just do every medical procedure.
It all works.
And it works.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's the future. They've really fine-tuned Obamacare.
Yeah, right. And then the pod opens, and she doesn't just get on the table. Like, she slinks up onto the table, and I was like, well, I'd be alive after that, too. That's all right.
Yeah.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. And then they have this wonderful life for the next, she's been writing this book the entire time, and...
he finds out that he could...
They try to retroactively justify, like, he finds out, hey, there's this other plot device that I could put you back into hibernation, but it can only be one of us, so you go do it.
Because in, like, that entire year that I was here by myself, apparently I missed that.
Yeah.
I think it was behind a door he couldn't get to.
Okay,
I'd be like, look, Jor-El.
Yeah.
All right? Yes. Like, it's not just one. You could probably fit two people in that pod.
Yeah.
I
would make an attempt to squeeze it. Hold on, let me get it. I got it. Close the door.
My option is, like, I have to be stuck in this tube with Jennifer Lawrence. I'll make it work.
Well, yeah. I'm assuming there's also, like, tubes and medical devices to feed you.
Oh, I guess that's true.
It's just like the door in Titanic.
Yeah.
There's plenty
of room, you hog.
But that way the film once again has to hedge its bets and, like, no, she's choosing to stay here.
Right. And they kind of open that door where it's like, you know, he's happy and whatever, and he goes to the bar, and I was like, oh, she, like, so if she chooses that, right, it's tough in this situation to not think of her as an asshole. Because now she's actively choosing to leave him by himself.
Nope. Now she's going to be subservient.
But she was like, nah, I'll stick with you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, was there ever any question that she wasn't going to make?
Of course, you will, Patty Hearst.
So, you know, they have this wonderful life for the next...
Which we see
long.
None of.
We see none of.
No.
We see that they have...
We lived our life to the fullest and planted trees.
They've destroyed that ship.
Yeah.
They have
Trees growing in the
trees
middle.
Trees growing everywhere. Yeah.
Birds
it everywhere.
It's like a, where it's like
are the kids? Where do the birds come from?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I got confused. I was confused.
Also, like, where
well,
are the
we
kids?
Should specify. So the movie fast forwards like 60 years or something. Yeah. Or, well, 90 years because it's them waking up.
Yeah, it's them waking
it's the
up.
The ship waking up. Right. And the crew wakes up 2 months early. The crew comes out and they had planted a tree earlier in the movie. He planted a tree to try to win her back. And,
right.
And now the whole place has become
a forest.
Forest
yeah.
vibe.
Yeah, and there's space Andy Garcia.
And my wife goes, oh, we're going to see their kids.
That's what I said. I was like, where are the kids? There has to be kids, right? Unless they...
Nope.
There's, no kids.
There's an opportunity they didn't take.
And then,
hang on. So let's say they had kids.
Okay.
Oh. What do the kids do?
Well,
maybe... Well, I mean, okay, let's think about this. So they have kids, and you figure, okay, we'll put them out 88 years. We're 88 years from getting to Homestead 2.
For math, let's say 80.
Just okay, we'll say 80 years.
So, well, let's say they wait to have kids as long as possible
so we'll
to give them a better chance to make it.
10
so,
years.
So they wait 10
so the
years.
So kids would be 70.
Right, but what are the kids going to do?
Okay, say they have a kid. They could have done like the one kid.
One and done.
What, so he just like bangs his mom?
Wait, what? No.
Well, no, that's the point I was making.
No, I know where you guys are all going.
Where the kids are going to...
You're avoiding the...
If you only have one kid, now you're dooming that kid to, at some point, live in complete and utter isolation.
Correct.
And be potentially forced to make the same choice that his father did.
So then we basically have...
And see, but here's the thing. That would have been an interesting third act.
Yes.
Right?
See, like, we're doing what they didn't do when they were making this movie.
Right. Correct.
That talk about...
Right.
The repercussions of all this.
Yeah. And that would have been an interest. Like
instead,
they
planted a tree.
So we should have got like a place beyond the pines in space. Remember how they move from like one relationship to the next and then it's their kids in the end? Like that would have been cool to see that. Like,
but it's a tree.
But it's a tree.
But there's a tree.
You know, and birds.
And here's the thing.
Space birds.
Jennifer Lawrence made a big deal about how she didn't get paid as much for American Hustle as the other actors because she didn't fight for it.
Right.
And she's made a big deal like, no, I want to get paid like a man. There's nothing wrong with that. And I do not begrudge her that in any way, shape, or form. But because she's a big movie star and she should get paid real money. But I think this movie is an example of the downside of getting paid, quote unquote, real money.
Yeah.
Is that this movie had almost 30% of its budget tied up in the two stars.
Two stars,
And when you do, the film has to make different choices. And they can't say, what's the best choice that serves the story?
No.
They have to say, what do we think is the most appealing choice that the public will respond to?
Right.
And how do we hedge our bets? And in this case, ironically, by hedging their bets, they made a more offensive movie than if they had just owned this guy made a really... choice.
Right.
Yeah. A really selfish choice. And
he has to pay for it.
And maybe he's kind of a douche.
Right.
And
right.
he's got to live with that. Like, that would be an interesting movie and a fascinating story to tell.
That's not
they didn't have the courage to do that.
What they did was they took an ending from a bad 90s Steven Spielberg movie.
Yeah. Well, with a 30, we'll say 40, conservative. We'll say if they wanted $40 million as a budget, and Jennifer Lawrence says, I want 20. Plus a back end deal, and Chris Pratt says, "I'll take 10." You're down to 10 million already,
right?
So there comes a time when it's just like, okay, you can't afford Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah,
that's just the way that works.
I'm going to go on a limb here and say that you can make a movie similar to this for $10 million.
I agree.
Yes. Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah, I do. I've got a whole bunch of them. We could talk about Moon. We could talk about Silent Running. We could talk about the movie. I should check the budget. The remake of the Russian film Solaris, which is based on
the George Clooney
novel.
One.
Yeah, George Clooney Solaris from 2002. Directed by Steven Soderbergh, who, when he did sci-fi, Steven Soderbergh, honestly, is probably the most diverse living director around.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the movies this guy's put out, none of these are like the other.
Yeah, for sure.
Danny Boyle.
True.
It's pretty close.
But you know what I mean?
But
you've got Magic Mike, and then you've got the Liberace movie, and then you've got Traffic, and then you've got this,
Experience.
Yeah, he just bounces all over the place. And he's a guy who will be happy to take a small budget. And
sure.
This is a small kind of like Clooney. This was 2002, so he's kind of, hugely bankable at that time. And they're going to do a movie that was a 3 hour plus, I think, Russian film. Based on a Stanislaw Lem novel, and And it's a sci-fi movie, but that's all about, you know, more of a meditative, you know, crisis movie where, you know, Clooney plays a scientist who receives a message from a friend on a space station, and the space station's having some issues, but there's also some weird anomalies. He gets his message from his friend who says, you know, can you come here and help? So we find out through flashbacks, you know, what this movie does is like shows us a lot of flashbacks. It establishes that he had a wife.
Who's he?
George Clooney.
Okay.
George Clooney had a wife. His wife, you know, had an abortion. He was upset by that. She ends up committing suicide. So he's
and then the
he's
ultimate
dealing
twist,
with that.
That abortion was passengers.
Yes. Yeah. And so he goes to space, and then he starts to see, like, the first thing he runs into, first he finds out his friend committed suicide, and then he finds his wife is there, too.
Oh.
And then you're like, what the hell is happening? And that's about as far as I want to give away this movie. But it is a movie that it was divisive when it came out because there's things that happen in the movie. Like Clooney's character does some not questionable things.
Not Clooney things.
Right. Not hero expected things. But
and that was probably
also
before Clooney had made a lot of the smaller movies.
Right.
Now you expect you're not as caught off guard when Clooney makes a movie like that.
Yeah, this is like veering into where he is now.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the time people were like, ooh, yeah, you know, and it works. And the movie I think works even better now that we've seen you know, we're starting to get in this resurgence of
a big resurgence,
you know,
space movies.
Sci-fi dramedies. Yeah. And this is a movie that some critics loved it, some critics hated it, and crowds were like 50-50, and it's
I remember this being very polarizing
but
polar that's what you're thinking.
Yeah. Oh, was that
but if you watch it now, I will say that movie, you know, just wipes the floor with this
oh
movie.
After seeing this movie, I'm pretty sure it would
wipes
be,
the floor.
Yeah,
so if you
Kane.
Want to save some money, go, you know, just check out Solaris.
Yeah, I would have thought. I figured you would pick this or Sunshine.
I was really close on Sunshine, and I honestly was going to do Silent Running, which is a 1972 film with Bruce Dern. But as I mentioned, I liked it as a kid, and seeing it, and I think as a kid I saw it, I was like six. Seeing it now, I was like, wow, it's a little just too
Sunshine
much.
Was the one where I when they
it's Danny Boyle.
Well, I realized that I was like, oh, it was they had just casted Chris Evans as Captain America, and I was like, you got the guy from Not Another Teen Movie to be Captain America, Human Torch. And then I saw this and I was like, oh
yeah,
yeah. And, and that's a movie I think that also kind of falls apart at the end.
Yeah.
Not as much as Passengers.
No.
And it's way better on the front end.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like they were doing something really cool, and then I don't feel like they didn't have the courage to make the movie. I felt like they didn't know what to do next.
Yeah.
And they just
they wrote
stuck.
Themselves into a corner.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the best like parallel, see, that I felt like the parallels of the characters were best. Like you can see Clooney, you know, you take Clooney and Pratt and hold them up, and you can see like where Clooney does what we kind of want to see, you know, something new. But the closest movie to this is Moon with Sam Rockwell.
Yeah,
so good.
I would agree.
And,
can't go wrong with Sam Rockwell.
And that's just another one where you're like, there's so many other better movies of this.
Yeah. So, well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Well, and 60 minutes of suck.
60 minutes of suck.
Well, five of it was a video recovery.
That's true. So.
Well, let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at RogerKubert or Facebook at Facebook.com/TomO'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to chime in with how much you hated this movie, you can do so at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. You can also join the League of Show Sharers while you're there. Also, don't forget, find us on iTunes, and you can rate, review, and subscribe, and we greatly appreciate it. We send everyone a personal thank you card.
Joe's in charge of that.
Yes, that's Joe's job. So if you haven't gotten one, please direct
all right there.
All correspondence to Joe. So that's it for this episode. I have no idea what we're doing next week, so you'll find out when we do. Until then, Kappa reignites the sun.
You and me forever. You and me together forever. Together forever.
Yo! up in horsey heaven, here's a thing. You trade your legs for angels' wings. And once we've all said goodbye, you take a running leap and you learn to fly.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Let's fly.